And this is the Word of God. So this week I thought I'd give you some reflections on Psalm 103. Psalm 103 has been a psalm that God has really used to minister to me over the last couple weeks. And this idea of keeping our eyes on God and not forgetting His benefits, keeping our eyes on the Lord. And so I thought I'd share some of my reflections on it. I'd share from my heart with you this week. And so this will be a little bit of a different sermon. Usually we're going through the scriptures and we're exegeting what it says. This one I'm going to give you some reflections that I have on the scriptures. And so I was asked this week if it gets boring or if it gets repetitive, always saying the same thing every week. Does it get repetitive or boring always saying everything's going to be okay, everything's going to work out, that God is in control, that God is sovereign? And you know, it's a good question. And I realize we do say some of the same things every week. We do say that God is in control every week. We do say that God is sovereign. We do say that we can trust the Lord. And so part of me thinks, well, no, it doesn't get boring saying that every week. Because it's true, and it's amazingly true. And it's amazingly good news. The gospel is amazingly good news. What Christ has done is amazingly good news that we need to hear all the time, that we need to hear it over and over again. And so, no, it doesn't get boring saying it over and over again. But it's a really good question. And part of the answer that I gave and part of the answer that I still give is it doesn't get boring because it's not just a reminder for you, but it's a reminder for me that I need to be reminded every week that everything's going to be okay. And when I say everything's going to be okay, I don't mean that I need to be reminded that my plans are going to work out, that all your plans are going to work out, that everything your heart desires is going to happen, and everything's just going to be good and going to be rainbows and unicorns all the time. That's not what I mean when I say that everything's going to be okay. What I mean when I say that everything's going to be okay is that I know that the Lord is in control and His plans are going to come to pass because He does as He pleases. And I trust that He knows what He's doing. And I love Him, and I know that He loves me, and therefore, I know that everything's going to be okay, because everything's going to work out according to His plan and His will, and I am His. And so whether my plans work out or not, whether my will works out or not, doesn't really factor into it at all, but that I trust the Lord, that His plans will work out. And so I've been thinking, do I say that every week? And if I don't, maybe I should. And if I do, maybe I shouldn't. And I've kind of been, you know, this past year has passed, I guess about 15 or 16 months almost now. I've been kind of going back and forth, you know, do we talk about the pandemic every week? Do we talk about COVID every week? Because that's what's forefront in people's minds. That's what's going on in people's lives. That's obviously the biggest thing happening in most people's lives. So do we talk about it every week? Do we address it? Or do we not address it? And do we say, you know, that because that's everything we're bombarded with on a daily basis, maybe we need something else. Maybe we need to look somewhere else. And then how do we do that? And I've kind of gone back and forth a little bit. Sometimes we talk about it and sometimes we try not to, but you know, it's kind of hard to figure that out. What do we do? And so I've been thinking, like in the past year, what have we been filling our minds with? What have we been filling our hearts and our spirit with? When I was in youth ministry, one of the things that I would do is once a week I would go for lunch with one of the kids in the youth ministry. And I would go pick up lunch and I would bring it to their school and we'd sit down, you know, at their school and we'd eat it. And I remember that one of the most popular things to get was burritos. And we'd go to these places with, you know, burritos, and the burritos would be so, like, they'd be stuffed so full, right? They'd be full of all the good stuff. You know, and so obviously that means there's no cilantro in them because cilantro tastes like feet. And so it'd be stuffed with all the good stuff except for feet herbs. And I'd take it to the school. And I remember there was one kid I took it to and he picks it up and he squeezes it. And he squeezes his burrito and it kind of blows up all over him. And he's kind of upset. And I kind of think, well, what do you expect? You know, like it was, you could see it was packed full of stuff. You knew as soon as you squeezed it, whatever was inside it was going to come out. And that's what it did. And he was a little upset. But he was okay because he still got to eat the burrito. And I've been thinking about What do we fill ourselves with? So that when we're squeezed, when life comes along and life squeezes us, what comes out of us? What are we full of? What have we filled ourselves with? What have we filled our mind and filled our spirit and filled our hearts with? That when we're squeezed, what's going to come out? What's going to come out of us? And I got to thinking about my kids. Right, my kids going through this and having to navigate this last, you know, year and a little bit of this pandemic and thinking, what would come out of them? You know, when we tested positive, what would come out of them? How would they figure this out? How would they navigate? And you think of Sawyer, you think of a 6-year-old's mindset. What would come out of her? Or an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old, what would come out of them? As life begins to squeeze us, what would come out? And I thought, well, maybe we could go, you know, in the past year, we could have went a couple ways, and I'm gonna talk about extremes here just to make the point, but we could have gone one way, and we could have, continued to spout it out of context verses, you know, like, God will protect us from the deadly plague, you know, and just keep saying that over and over. I declare and I decree that God will protect us, and the blood of Christ is my vaccine, and sickness will never hurt me, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and I declare that I will not get sick, and I declare that sickness will stay away, and I declare this and that. We could have done that nonsense. And friends, it is nonsense. It's New Age nonsense. It has no place in Christianity. And we could have done that nonsense, but the problem with that is what happens when we test positive? Does that mean that God is a liar? Because we declared and we decreed and we pled the blood and we did all this, then that means God's a liar then. Or we did something wrong. We could have went that way, or we could have went the other way. And on the other extreme, we could have not trusted in God at all, and we could have just lived in complete and abject fear the whole time. We could have made our kids wear masks in the house and wear double masks and triple masks all the time. We could have made sure we didn't hug anybody, and we all stayed in separate rooms at home to make sure that nobody ever gets sick. We could have said, you know, it doesn't matter what the health authority says. We're not even going to do the things that they say are safe. We're not going to do that. We're going to stay away from everybody. And we're going to tell our kids every day how many deaths there were. And we're going to get together every day and we're going to say, kids, there were 5 deaths. Kids, there were 2 deaths. Kids, there were 15 deaths. Kids, there were 20 deaths in BC. Kids, there were 6. Kids, there were 8. And every day for a year and a few months, we were going to tell them how many people died from this disease. Every single day we were going to tell them. What if we filled them with that? Well, think of what happens to a 6-year-old who hears that every single day. And then mummy tests positive. What do you think would come out? What do you think happens to a sensitive 8-year-old who hears that every single day? And mummy tests positive, or he tests positive. What do you think would come out when he gets squeezed? Think of the mental anguish that would happen to those kids. Now, we've tried to be somewhere in the middle. And I'm not trying to say that we're heroes, because we're definitely not heroes, right? And we've made mistakes and we've said things in anger that maybe we shouldn't have said, and we've done things that maybe we shouldn't have done. And maybe in some areas we've been too lax, and in other areas we've been too strict. So I'm not saying we're heroes. We're simply sinners saved by grace, who love the Lord. And what we've been trying to fill our kids with is trusting in God and remembering His steadfast love. That we don't need to put all our eggs in the basket of we're never going to get sick, and if we get sick, it's because we sinned, because God is punishing us. We're also not going to put all our eggs in the basket of, it's terrifyingly scary. Right, and having no trust in God, that God is in control. We're not going to put our eggs in either of those baskets. We're trying to be somewhere in the middle, that if whatever comes along, however we get squeezed, that we remember the steadfast love of the Lord and we trust Him, that He is going to take care of us. And see, the steadfast love, that's really been a key phrase for me, and I hope it's going to be a key phrase for you as we look at Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, it talks about His steadfast love. It shows up 4 times in the psalm. And it's a phrase that encompasses not only love, but also loyalty and compassion and commitment. And so here's the question. Have we been filling our hearts with the steadfast love of the Lord so that what comes out when life squeezes us is trust and faith and assurance? Or have we been filling our eyes and our minds and our hearts and our spirits with something else so that when we're squeezed, what comes out is fear and anxiety and anger and resentment and bitterness? See, this is the question. What we bring into us is what's going to come out of us. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? What we think and how we act is going to be what we consume. What's the old saying? You are what you eat. Are we feasting on God's word or on something else? So I want to quickly look at kind of three sections of verses here. And the first section of the verse here is Psalm 103, 1 to 5. And I'm just going to read it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your new youth is renewed like the eagles. And these are amazing verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Because let's be honest, we forget easily. We're forgetful creatures. Right, we forget that people love us. We forget that the Lord loves us. We forget that he has created us and he is in control and he is on the throne. Life comes at us and life comes at you fast, and we start to forget these things. Right, and that forgetfulness is a key part of the root of a lot of sin. And also, that forgetfulness is what really feeds into a lot of anxiety and fear and depression and things like this, is that forgetfulness of who we are in Christ. But it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This week I was reading the story of the Israelites to Lincoln, the Israelites wandering the desert. So in Exodus there, they're wandering the desert. They've come through the Red Sea. They're wandering the desert on the way to the Promised Land. And it was amazing. Lincoln and I talked about it. It was amazing how quickly they forgot. How quickly they went from walking through the Red Sea and seeing the Egyptian army destroyed to complaining that God was going to kill them of dehydration because he's not going to give them any water. And then God makes the bitter water sweet, and that's good for a little bit. But very quickly, again, they forget that God is in control, and they start complaining and mumbling about, why'd you bring us out to the desert to starve? Back in Egypt, we had pots full of meat. And then God blesses them with quail and manna. And it's not so long after that where they start complaining again. They forget again. And I think that's so much like us. And again, Lincoln and I talked about it, so much like us. Right? Things are going good and we remember that God is good and God is great. And then things kind of, you know, don't go great and we forget that God is still in control, that God took care of us. We forget easily. And so forget not all his benefits. Oh, my soul, forget not all God's benefits. So even when we do test positive for COVID, we don't forget all God's benefits. We turn to him and look to him. We remember that he has brought us through and he promises to bring us through. And regardless of how the illness ends, he is in control and he is going to bring us through. And then it lists all his benefits. He forgives your iniquities. He forgives our sins. He heals your diseases. And yes, God will heal every single one of us. Some on this earth and some into eternity. He redeems our life from the pit. That we are no longer destined to the pit. We are no longer destined to eternal death, to punishment, to hell. But we are destined to heaven, to paradise, to eternal life. He redeems us. And he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He pours out and bestows upon you steadfast love and mercy. A love that doesn't fail. A love that's not going to give up. a love that's loyal and committed to you, crowns you with that. And he satisfies you with good. And I like this phrase, he satisfies you with good. You having a problem finding things that satisfy? Maybe it's because you're not looking for the good. Maybe it's because you're not allowing the Lord to satisfy you. Maybe because you're looking other places. Turn to God. Let him satisfy you. He satisfies you with good. He doesn't satisfy you with the bad things of the world. He doesn't satisfy you with fleeting things of the world. He satisfies you with good. Don't you want to be satisfied? Don't you want to be satisfied with good? Turn to God. Remember all his benefits. And then he renews us. He renews our youth like eagles. And he takes care of us. And I want to jump down to verse 8. We'll take a look at this here in verse 8 eventually. Man, this outside stuff makes it really hard to find your mouse. There it is. Verse 8 says this: the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in what? Abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide. He will not keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Oh, thank God for that. I thank God that he is so merciful, that he is so abounding in graciousness and steadfast love, that he doesn't deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. Have you ever had the feeling that when things are going really well, that there's going to be something around the corner that messes it up? Right? And that's kind of life. Life, you know, kind of has suffering built into it. Right? There's lots of suffering in life. And in some ways it feels like suffering is the default. And so when things are going good, sometimes we're thinking, man, something must be coming. Something must be going bad. Or maybe when we sin, maybe it's a big sin or a small sin. Maybe something really, really grievous in public. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's just something in our hearts. And we think, man, I did that. I wonder when God's going to zap me. I wonder when something's going to come around as punishment for that. Now, we do reap what we sow. Right? If you eat nothing but cheeseburgers, right, you're going to gain weight, and you're probably going to have heart issues, and you're probably going to have health issues. If you smoke a ton of cigarettes, you're probably going to have lung issues. You're going to reap what you sow. But in the Christian worldview, there's no such thing as karma. Like, karma doesn't exist. That's not a Christian thing. Right? This purposeless force that balances everything else, that's not a Christian thing. No, God is gracious, and he's in control. And he doesn't deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities. Thank the Lord he doesn't do that. What hope would we have? But so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. This loyal love, so great it is towards those who fear him. Jump down a little bit to verse 14. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Life is precious. Absolutely precious. But life is also fleeting and fragile, and in the sea of eternity, it's but a drop. It's the blink of an eye. Our hope is not in this life. Our hope is in eternity. And if yes, death is a tragedy. It is. It's an absolute tragedy. It's not the way it should be. It's a result of the fall. It hurts and it causes pain. But it's part of our life here on earth. The truth is, we are dust. Our days are like grass. We flourish like the flower of the field, but the wind passed over and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. Every single one of us will die. We're all going to die of something. Very few of us are going to die of COVID-19. A tiny, small fraction of the world's history, which I'm going to make a bold statement here that won't even be a blip in the historical narrative. That doesn't mean each individual death isn't a tragedy. I'm just saying on the overall big scale. But each one of us is going to die from something. The death rate of humans is holding steady at 100%. And, you know, we're going to take reasonable precautions against death. We're going to take reasonable precautions to extend our life. Right? We're not going to, go play on the highway. We're not going to go play in traffic. I'm not going to, fill myself with things that I know are going to cause cancer or other sicknesses. I'm going to take reasonable precautions against things. But I'm not going to live my life thinking that I can extend it past what God has allotted for me. And I think we can do that. We can take reasonable precautions. But we remember that our hope is not in this life anyway. That God's steadfast love is from everlasting to everlasting. It's eternal and unending for those who keep His covenant. That whether we live or we die, we are with the Lord. Paul said, to live is gain, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Either way, we are with the Lord. See, ancient biblical writers are often portrayed in art with having a skull on their writing desk. And it's not this piece of just, macabre decoration, but it's there to remind them of their mortality. And we've removed that in large part from our life. We've removed this thought that we are dust. Right? We think we are kings. We are the ultimate. We are the epitome. We are everything this world is about. But He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. And we've removed this idea of mortality from our life. We've put it out of our brain. We've put it out of our mind. We've tried to get rid of it. We shuffle away older people. We shuffle them off somewhere else. They can go die somewhere else. And then when they do die, we make them all up to look like they're alive. Right? We have celebrations of life instead of funerals. People are going to die. Life is fragile. Are we secure in the Lord? Are we secure in steadfast love of the Lord? I don't say this to be flippant. I don't say this to be crass. But that's the question. Not are you going to die, but when you die, are you secure in the steadfast love of the Lord? Knowing that as the Lord loves me now, He will love me. I will know this love in even greater ways then when I see Him face to face. See, it's not a morbid exercise, but it's an exercise of trust that we know, live or die, we are in the hands of the Lord. That we can trust God. So is that what we fill ourselves with? Is that what we filled ourselves with over this last year? And when we get squeezed like an overstuffed burrito, what's going to come out? Is truth going to come out? Or have you filled yourself with all the lies of the government over the last year and a half that when you're squeezed, those lies are going to come out? Have you filled yourself with the steadfast love of the Lord, with the calm assurance of God, with remembering all His benefits? Have you filled yourself with a vision of eternity, with the knowledge of eternity, with the insurance of eternity? Have you filled yourself with these things, so when life comes along and squeezes you? And again, I'm not pointing to me as a hero, but I look at my kids when we talked about it. That's what came out of us. And I'm so amazingly proud of my kids that that's what came out of them. When this happened, when we came back and we tested positive, like it was a little jarring. It was a little shocking. I'm not going to lie to you. But when we started to think about it, when we got squeezed, when life squeezed us, what came out was the things that we had filled ourselves with in the last year. So no, friends, it doesn't get old. It doesn't get tiring. It doesn't get repetitive saying the same things over and over again. Because I want to fill us. I want to fill myself with the steadfast love of the Lord. so that in the storm or in the good, I'm going to follow Jesus. And when life squeezes me and I get squeezed, what comes out of the fullness and the abundance of my heart is trust and assurance and peace and joy. And I know for most of you, maybe for all of you, that's the same. If that doesn't sound like you, I want to encourage you, get into the Word. Get into the Word this week. Just read Psalm 103. Just read it. Memorize it. Imprint it on your heart. Imprint it in your mind. Read it over and over and over again until you believe it. Until those other things you've been bombarded with start to get filtered out and this starts to be your focus. Because friends, it's far better to be squeezed by the Lord and have goodness come out than to be squeezed by the world and have all kinds of evil emanate from us. Let's wrap this up. I don't really have a great conclusion, but we're going to wrap it up now and we're going to sing our final song, I will follow Christ. And so God bless you. Let's sing together as we follow God in this life.